Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's not my church or your church. It's God's host that he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. As I'm sure most of you do, Connie and I have toys for the grandkids to play with when they come. We have a football there, and when I hold that football in my hands, it's just a football. But put it in the hands of Peyton or Eli Manning, and it turns into collegiate and professional championships. We also have a set of artist brushes. We have two of our grandchildren that love to draw and to paint. You put one of those paint brushes in my hand, it's just a paintbrush. You put it in the hands of a Picasso or a Rembrandt, and priceless paintings are turned out. The bottom line is that if our talents and our possessions are placed in the right hands, amazing events will occur. So why not place those talents and possessions into the hands of God? Think for a moment what we could do for the Lord if we decided to give him everything we possess, even if it's just a little. We're going to learn the result of doing just that from our text. And our text this morning is a very familiar passage, 1 John 6, 1 through 15, the story of feeding the 5,000. And I invite you to follow along in your Bibles as I read John 6, 1 through 15. I think I misspoke earlier when I said 1 John, but it's John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of ground. Sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Familiar story. We've all heard it, I'm sure, numerous times. And in this story, Philip is asked by Jesus to perform a task that Philip thinks is impossible. However, he learns that when we allow Jesus to use what resources are available, meager though they may be, feats can be accomplished that we never believed possible. Now, prior to this incident, prior to crossing the sea, Jesus had been in Jerusalem, and he had healed a man on the Sabbath. And the Jewish leaders had questioned him about breaking the rule of working or doing anything on the Sabbath. And he had explained to them that he had done it because his father was always at work, even on the Sabbath, and as the Son of God, he too was at work. So the Jewish leaders were determined more than ever to have him killed, because not only had he broke the Sabbath rule, but he had also claimed to be the Son of God and put himself on an equal basis with God. So Jesus learned about this, and he crossed the Sea of Galilee and went in to the mountain, up on the mountain on the other side, to be with the disciples. I'm sure Jesus wanted some time to rest and to be alone with his disciples before the Passover feast began. But however, many in Jerusalem did not want Jesus to leave. He had been healing the sick and touching lives in many, many different ways. They did not wish to be without Jesus. So thousands followed him in their boats across the sea and up the mountainside. We read in verses 5 and 6 that when Jesus looked up and saw the crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy the bread to feed these people?" He asked this only to test Philip, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. In essence, Jesus is saying to Philip, "I know feeding all these people appears impossible, yet I want to learn how you will react as a human in a humanly impossible situation. Will you trust me? Will you help me provide some food for these people, even if you don't now know how all of them will be fed?" Now, does Jesus still test us today with impossible situations? Definitely he does. Maybe you have been through your share of impossible situations. Maybe you have said, "God, why are you testing me like this? How can you expect me to step out on faith if I do not know what will be the result of doing so?" If we insist on knowing the end result of trusting Jesus, of becoming involved with a project that he wants accomplished, then we'll never know the joy of living by faith and the excitement of completely being dependent on God. In hindsight, we probably think that Philip should have said, "Lord, I have no idea how we shall feed 5,000 people, but however, since you are the Lord, I trust you completely. I shall do whatever you want." Philip didn't say that. We know that he said something like, "What do you mean, where will we buy the bread to feed these 5,000 plus people? We couldn't afford to buy the bread if we knew where to go buy it. It would take a man's wages for 8 months, and we still have enough to feed the 5,000 men plus women and children. Just send them away. They can eat at home." You know, it's easy for us to judge Philip 2,000 years later. We judge each other 10 minutes later after one of us has said something or done something. And it's easy to say, if I were Philip, I would never have said what he said. I would have trusted Jesus. Yet how many times have we been asked to serve the Lord and have had convenient excuses? How many times has someone suggested in the church that we need to start a new ministry program, or we need to look into a new Sunday school class? And how many times have we responded like Philip, saying, we can't start this new ministry. We've never done this before. What will it cost us to do this? Can we afford to do that? Do you have any idea what the number of people it would take to accomplish this? And besides, we've never done anything like this before. We have a little bit of Philip in our lives, all of us do. We tend to look despairingly at our impossible situations. We tend to throw up our hands in defeat. And we look at Andrew, Peter's brother. He was no different than Philip. He approached it from a little different angle. In verse 9, he said, here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two fish, but how far will this go among so many? You know, a barley loaf in this time about which we are talking was about the size of a small biscuit, and it was the cheapest bread you could buy. It was the poor people's bread, so to speak. And the Greek words used to describe the fish were really translate to mean two small pickled fish. So Andrew is wondering, how in the world are we going to feed 5,000 plus people with this boy's lunch? You know, many Christians believe they lack the time and resources needed to serve the Lord. Our nominating committee just finished their job, and we voted on their report several weeks ago. But yet there are still some positions that need to be filled. But in the meetings, we heard of people saying, I just don't have time. How many times have we said that to the Lord? Lord, I've thought about attending Bible study. Lord, I've thought about participating in monthly visitation. Lord, I've thought about teaching Bible study or Sunday school. Or Lord, I've thought about volunteering in vacation Bible school or going on a mission trip. But how can I do this, Lord? I have limited time. My resources are limited. My experience is limited. All of my gifts and abilities amount only to 2 to 5 small barley loaves. But if we look at verse 10, we find out what happens when our limited resources are placed in the hands of God. Jesus says, have the people sit down. And they all sit on the grass. And then he takes the bread and gives thanks and breaks it and begins distributing it among the people. And he does the same with the fish. And he did that until all the people had eaten all they wanted. Remember, this is not a story about how we can do so much with so little. This is a story about how Jesus can do so much with so little. We need to realize that regardless of our talents, regardless of our possessions, if we turn them over to God, have faith in Him to use them, then He can accomplish things that we could not imagine. I want you to note that after everyone had eaten, Jesus instructed the disciples, gather the leftovers, let nothing be wasted. Notice the liberality and frugality of Jesus here. He let everyone eat all they wanted. He was a liberal giver, but he was also a frugal giver. He said, save the leftovers. Why would there be leftovers? This was Jesus. This was God. He knew how much food was needed to feed these people, to let them have all they wanted. Why didn't he just mete it out to the point where the last crumb was the last bit that anybody wanted? Why were they leftovers? Well, most Bible scholars think, and I tend to agree, that he wants us, he wanted the disciples, he wanted the people he fed to realize that God is a generous giver. He just doesn't give us enough to scrape by. He gives us what we need and then some. It may not be as much as we want of worldly possessions, of riches, of power, of fame, but God gives us what we need and then some to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish for him with our life. And when the people saw what Jesus did, they believed him to be the prophet about whom Moses spoke. And it appeared to Jesus that they intended to make him king. But just because Jesus desires to make the little we have go a long way does not mean that we have him in our hip pocket. It does not mean that he will do as we want him to do. It does not mean that he will be whatever we want him to be. Yet this is what the crowd was trying to do. They wanted to make Jesus king. They wanted a Jesus they could manipulate. They wanted a Jesus they could control. They wanted a Jesus who would go back into Jerusalem and kill the Romans and set up a Jewish kingdom for them, so that they would no longer be slaves to the Roman government. But Jesus tells us, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is saying his kingdom is not about war and bloodshed and force. His kingdom is about love and peace and righteousness. Therefore, he does not agree to become their king or our king here on earth. He does not agree to become an earthly king. Jesus also said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. In other words, he's saying, if you thought it was so wonderful that I gave you barley loaves to eat, imagine what would happen if you ate of the bread of life and took me into your lives. And let me tell you, if you do allow Jesus into your life, he will take the little little possessions that you have and make them go further than you could ever have done on for yourself and you could ever have thought possible. So give Jesus your barley loaves. Give him your time, your talent, and your treasures. Put your limited resources into the hand of Jesus and watch him accomplish great things in your life, and in your family, and in your ministry. I'm sure all of us have heard children, little children say, my father can do anything. And we smile at that and kind of chuckle, because we know that they're just so proud of their father, but we also know it is not true. But let me tell you, as Christians, we can brag. We can truthfully say our Heavenly Father can do anything with little or nothing. His Word demonstrates that to us just about every book
of the Bible. All things are possible through God. And we need to let Him use our lives. We need to say, yes, Lord, I can assist with Bible school. Yes, Lord, I can assist with teaching a Sunday school class. Yes, Lord, I shall attend Bible study and visitation and all those ministries that you provided for your church. I want to participate. Take what talents and possessions I have and use them to accomplish your goal for my life. And this morning, if you haven't done that, if you're a believer and you've kind of been drifting backwards and not accepting the responsibility that God wants you to accept for your life by allowing Him to be in control, by taking the bread of life and bringing it into your life, then you should reevaluate your relationship with God. And if you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, what a wonderful opportunity to do that today. You just come forward. You say, Lord, I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. And He will do that. And we'll be glad to celebrate with you that decision this morning. Please come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 287. Take my life and lead me, Lord.